Welcome. First of all, I'd like to thank the Troop 727 from Portland who's visiting our committee today. And Representative Haas, would you like to introduce them or say a few words?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, they're from Beaverton in the Portland area. And 727, they're here for their citizenship merit badge, communications merit badge, and they're spending the entire day here. And I'm not sure if they're going to testify on House Bill 3198 on the economic community development. I'm not sure.
But stay tuned.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative.
Why don't we give them a test at the end of the day on 2300?
That is an excellent thing. They will really earn their citizenship badge.
They are not laughing.
They're not laughing. That's right.
They've seen the bill.
Well, we'll proceed and welcome. Thank you for visiting our committee. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2300. We're not going to be taking any further public testimony, and that's why we're in work session. Kim, do you want to say anything, or I'll just take a motion to move the Dash 7?
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 7 amendments.
I have a motion on the Dash 7 amendments. Is there any discussion? Linda? Yes?
Madam Chair, I only saw we had the Dash 6. Is the Dash 7...
Well, they just move along in this business.
Madam Chair, if I may, I can explain
the
difference.
Yes, she can explain it for the work, for the committee. Yeah,
for the committee, the difference between the Dash 6 amendments that were passed out to you on Monday and the Dash 7 amendments occurs on page 9 of the amendments at line 12 and 13. The original language of the bill, or the original language of the statute, excuse me, was restored here, requiring a report, which, as it was simply stated before, rather than periodic reports as required by the department. It's not a substantive change. It doesn't change their ability to require periodic reports. That's just contained in another part of the statute.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative March.
And so I presume that this contains the Dash 1, Dash 2, Dash 3, Dash 4, Dash 5, Dash 6 amendments. Thank you.
That would be correct.
And he can count. Good. Do we need to call the roll on the motion?
No, you can just... You can just ask if there's any objections.
Any objections to the Dash 7? So ordered. Take a motion on the bill.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2300 as amended be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Berger. I have a motion to move the bill 2300 with the Dash 7 amendments to the Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Linda, will you call the roll?
Representative
Hart. Aye.
Representative
Hart. Aye.
Representative
Ritter. Aye.
Representative
Pat. Aye.
Representative
Berger.
Aye.
Representative Sanego.
Aye.
So ordered. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2300. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3198. Kim, would you like to give us a summary?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3198 authorizes the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to reimburse a provider of industrial extension services for a portion of expenses incurred in providing such services. Industrial extension services means services provided by a not-for-profit organization funded under the Federal Manufacturing Extension Partnership. It is a program to assist manufacturing firms in determining and adopting appropriate technologies, management techniques, work organization, and workforce strategies to become and remain competitive in a global economy. This requires a matching fund contribution, limits reimbursement to $1 million annually, and allocates a maximum of $2 million for the biennium beginning July 1, 2003. It also has a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Kim. And this is Representative Berger's bill, I understand.
You did
not want to testify on this?
No, I'm going to let others speak on this one.
Okay, thank you. I'll call the first witness. Paul Cosgrove and Pat Murphy, are you coming together? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Paul Cosgrove, representing the Oregon Manufacturers Extension Partnership, and thank you for scheduling this bill for a hearing, and thank you, Representative Berger, for having it introduced. I will, if with the Chair's permission, just give a brief additional run-through on the elements of the bill, what we intended to have it do. Mr. Murphy is the Executive Director of Oregon Manufacturers Extension Partnership, and he'll give you a little more detail on what the organization does, how it assists businesses. And then there are two other witnesses who are, I think we can classify as happy customers, could tell you what, in fact, this service was able to do for their businesses. Section 2, subsections A and B of the bill define industrial extension services, and that is services operated in conjunction with the Federal Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program given to manufacturing firms defined as being firms with less than 500 employees. So we're talking about small and medium-sized manufacturers to help them adopt new technologies, become more competitive and more profitable, preserve jobs, and create jobs in our economy. And I think Pat may mention this more in depth. Small manufacturers, as I think the committee knows, are a very, very important part of Oregon's economy. The bill is intended to provide state match for the federal funds and fees that the organization already collects. In contrast to most other states, Oregon has never provided an ongoing source of state matching funds for us, for this organization, and consequently we are actually losing federal money that Oregon would be eligible for because we don't have enough matching funds to bring that money down. It also sets up a process for dispersing the state matching funds on a quarterly basis beginning in July 2003 and for evaluation of the success of the program, which we think is incredibly important. And lastly, and most importantly, appropriates money from the Economic Community Development Fund. On this issue, I need to reiterate what's in the sort of bill summary that I'm submitted for the record. We set forth in the bill a formula that was intended to provide a cap on state matching funds. As finally drafted, and it came out on the last day and needed to be introduced, it also became the floor for state matching funds of $2 million. We recognize that this is an issue that will be dealt with in the Ways and Means process as they look at all of the economic and community development programs and make decisions on the priorities. So for today, we were hoping that this committee would make a policy decision. We hope that it's one that approves that this is a good program to go down to Ways and Means to be evaluated with all the other programs and priorities. With that, if there are no questions on what the bill actually sets forth, may I turn it over to Mr. Murphy?
Sure. Let me see if there's any questions for Mr. Cosgrove. Not at this time. Go ahead, Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. First of all, the MEP mission, I think Kim stated it pretty well, is to help small manufacturing companies become more competitive by adopting the latest technologies. And our particular focus is on introducing and helping companies implement lean manufacturing, which used to be called just-in-time. Essentially, it's the systematic elimination of waste in manufacturing processes. The funding model for our organization is, in theory, it's funded a third by federal dollars through the Department of Commerce, a third by state funds, and a third by the fees we charge for consulting. There is about $780,000 available from the federal, from the Department of Commerce for us, and we receive that as reimbursement for one-third of our expenses. This past year, we were only able to access about $550,000, a little less than $550,000. Because we couldn't, the size of the organization wasn't large enough to access all the federal funds. Last week I was in Washington for our annual event lobbying for the continued funding of the program at the national level. And for the first time we had some tremendous support. Our message was that MEP clients are winners, are shine, as opposed to clients that haven't dealt with MEP systems. There was some information, we have some handouts that show there's something like productivity is four times greater for companies that have dealt with the MEP system than those that haven't. We, the support we asked for in Washington was to sign on to a Dear Colleague letter supporting the MEP program and FY04 funding. And as of this morning, we have both Senators Smith and Wyden and Representatives Blumenauer, Walden, and Wu, which last year we had only one person, that was Senator Wyden. So big change this time. There's about 7,000 manufacturers in Oregon, and about 98 plus percent of those are what we consider small manufacturers, 500 or fewer people. That amounts to 175,000 jobs. It's about 75% of the total manufacturing jobs in the state. The typical company we work with is somewhere between 10 and 150 people. Right now we have something like 35 to 40 clients. We're busier than we have ever been. Economy has something to do with it, of course. Most of our clients come to us through referrals and primarily through economic development entities around the state, SEDCOR, SoReady, Portland Development Commission. We also get referrals from the small business development centers when their clients get a little too large for them to handle. Community colleges have been a traditional partner. We do get some small grants from regional entities that help buy down the cost of our services. We're just about to begin working with some of the workforce investment programs that we haven't done before, most likely through the community colleges. The process we use when we go into a company is pretty standard. We do an assessment, either formal or informal, of the entire enterprise, look for opportunities. Then we do some sort of training and simulation so that people understand what lean manufacturing is all about. And the real heart of it is what we call process mapping. We graphically depict all our activities and look for opportunities to change or improve or shorten times. And then we go through the implementation stage, which is really what differentiates us from many others. All our folks, our consultants, are degreed engineers, a lot of experience working on shop floor. So they help the companies go through the details of implementation. And frequently, especially in smaller companies, once we've done something like this, they open up to us and want other services, whether it be IT or finance or marketing. So we have a whole cadre of what we call third parties, independent consultants that we use to leverage all our small organization who specialize in these different fields. And last year I looked and it was, I think, over 50% of the revenue that we took in from fees was paid out to our third-party consultants. So again, small organization utilizing a number of people around the state. I had some questions from some of you about the size of the organization that I didn't answer too well. This morning I looked in this past fiscal year, which just ended, our revenues were $1,360,000. That's total and includes some in-kind. However, our expenses were $1,600,000. The $240,000 shortfall we made up out of reserves that we've had for some time. We have reserves probably equal to that left, which means, at best case, we could survive another year without supplemental funding. That would be the end of us. There was a question also, I believe, about administrative overhead. We currently have 8 full-time staff. 6 of those are manufacturing consultants. Then there's me and there's an accountant. That will, of course, go up, assuming we're funded to hire more people. Accessing the federal dollars takes a great deal of our resources through reporting and involvement in various projects. So we supplement our staff by using consultants to help us deal with that. But again, the real issue is that as a percentage of costs with more people, that will go dramatically down. I think that's it.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Any questions? You must have done an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, same mark. Uh-oh, I spoke too soon.
He asked questions I couldn't answer.
No, actually, this one's tangential to the thing. You mentioned SBICs. How many SBICs are operating in Oregon?
SBIC.
The Small Business Investment Corporations.
What is it, 40, I think, 35, 40. And I know they have some funding issues as well.
Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Richardson.
I have a question for, I guess, Mr. Cosgrove, and that is, you're asking for this vote to be sent over to Ways and Means, but it contains a floor of $2 million. And so if we vote for a due pass on that, then that means that we are voting in favor of it the way it reads now, and I personally can't go on record as voting for something that has a floor of $2 million. And so we can either send it or we can get it amended. But if it's going to be amended either way, then why wouldn't we want to amend it before we vote on it?
Madam Chair, Representative yes. Richardson, in fact, Ms. Medford and I spoke about that issue specifically. When we sent it to Legislative Council, it had a zero instead of $2 million. They did the mathematics and turned, as I say, the cap into a floor. We know that it will be that figure. Some figure will be put in there, and it's not likely to be $2 million at the time it gets to Ways and Means. And rather than writing one amendment that took it out and made it a blank, to be followed by a second amendment that Ways and Means did to put in the right figure. We thought that it would be appropriate, and I wanted to make clear on the record, I've made clear to the department, and I will make very clear to Ways and Means, that we were asking you to decide on the policy and not on the $2 million, that was not intention of us to ask for that, nor do we believe your intention to approve the specific dollar amount. So we will, when we get to Ways and Means, if we get there, we will be asking them to, as part of their consideration of the other budgets and economic development programs, replacing it. It was simply a matter of trying to avoid two amendments and the work involved in creating two amendments.
Correct. Do you have a
Chair,
sure.
I understand. You're still asking for a vote on a bill that says $2 million. So I'm just saying that's what we're going on record as voting on. So I'm not sure why we wouldn't have an amendment so that what we're voting on is what is actually intended.
And I think he followed up with he's going to do that in Ways and Means. And Representative,
let me ask it a different way, Paul, and for Dennis's benefit as well. Would you prefer us to amend it here, or would you prefer us to pass it to Ways and Means without recommendation?
Madam Chair, Representative March, I think we'd prefer it to be passed as quickly as possible, Ways and Means, so it gets there when all the other economic development issues are done. If the committee chooses to be, if the committee is uncomfortable leaving that figure in, my recollection, and Doris can perhaps correct me if I'm wrong, is that the department's budget is April 14th. Approximately. So if you would prefer to amend it to zero and then send it down, that certainly there's time enough to do that. The committee's pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Cosgrove. I think Kim has an answer for this here.
We can either request an LC amendment, or because this is such a simple fix, if there's nothing else that you want to change, we can do a conceptual amendment, I think.
After we drop the bill. We could vote on it and send it along with a conceptual amendment to make that change in Ways and Means.
To either a blank or a zero, whatever is the...
Okay, so when this is reported and somebody's looking up our votes and so forth, it will show the amendment?
Yes.
Yes.
Does that answer your concern? Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Martha Gamblin and Sam Collins together. Welcome, and for the record, state your name.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Martha Bergman Gamblin, and I'm the owner of Gamblin Artist Colors Company. We're a niche manufacturer based in the Central East Side Business District of Portland. A niche manufacturer is a small company making specialty products sold into a well-defined marketplace. The analogy here is the difference between broadcasting and narrowcasting, and we're the narrowcasters. Gamblin Artist Colors Company, we only have to connect with people who want to buy oil painting materials. That's a narrow segment of the population, but there are more than enough consumers in this niche to keep 20 Oregonians employed and making good wages. Professional and serious oil painters use our brand worldwide. So niche marketers have good ideas, best products, but we can't grow into global marketplaces without the know-how. So how do we develop manufacturing distribution systems so we can develop world-class products, cost-effective, get them into the hands of consumers? Where do we get the know-how? And so that's who the Oregon Manufacturer Extension Partnership means to Gamblin Artist College. They're our know-how. They've helped us manage our inventory, which was sucking up our cash flow. Our retail customers were demanding the products turn quicker and quicker. And at some point, you know, all small business owners say, I don't know how to do this. I need an expert. And we called the Oregon Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and an expert came into our factory and brought us expertise and education. Charlie Martin was the OMEP engineer who guided our lean transition, showed us how to use lean manufacturing philosophies and techniques to turn a very funky, homegrown workshop into a lean manufacturing company. We started the process with mapping our mixing and milling and filling operations so we could recognize what slowed us down, what was holding us back. We relieved the bottlenecks by reducing setup time, standardizing batch sizes, and improving our quality control systems. So how do we know we're making world-class oil painting materials? How do we measure quality? The new procedures and systems has given our production workers the confidence to take responsibility into their own hands. So the people on the shop floor are making the world-class art oil painting materials, and we're just helping them. So the results. Working with OMEP, our productivity improved 25%. We saved $200,000 in inventory reduction, and we've been able to maintain our business with those low inventory levels. We put this money into advertising and promotions. More results. We've raised our wage base by more than 10%. Entry-level jobs used to start at $9, and now they start at $10 per hour. We have a new warehouse system that has increased our on-time delivery from 92% to 98%. Our lean transition took us 2 years. Working with OMEP is not free, but because we paid a subsidized rate for industrial and manufacturing engineering, Gamblin Artists Colors Company was able to afford the lean transition. The taxpayers' investment in helping Gamblin Artists Colors is a job creation. In the year 2002, we created 1.5 new jobs. So far, 2003, we've created 2 more jobs. For every job created in the manufacturing sector, 7 more jobs are created in other aspects of the economy. That means the investment in Gamblin Artists Colors Company yield 24.5 new jobs in Oregon. I ask you to take your attention off everything that's wrong. A weak economy, high unemployment, war. Put our attention on proactive, future-oriented opportunities to help small business. By helping fund OMEP, these talented engineers can lead Oregon in the creation of small, green manufacturers building good jobs that pay sustainable wages. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Gamblin?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I think she paints a pretty good picture.
Very good.
Do I need to even talk now?
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sam Collins, Director of Operations at Marquis Spas in Independence. 23-year-old business manufacturing spas and hot tubs domestically, internationally. Currently employing 200 employees, has gone up and down with the the changing of the years and the seasons and the cycles. We're not as far along as Martha. We actually started in October, but have moved very quickly, primarily with the help of OMEP and their resources. Our story is a little bit different. We were in a serious jam. The late 90s, we seen growth in the high 20s, 30 percentile ranges, and we had got to a point that we were busting at the seams. Income was good. We went and we purchased some land. We had grand ideas for a $20 million facility. Really going to go gangbusters. And then 2001 landed and everything kind of went down the drain. So we found ourselves with an issue. And actually almost a year ago last week, I took my job, and the first charge from the president was, make sure you keep me in this building and build more spas. And how do you do that when you've been busting at the seams? So that's where OMEP came into play. I was familiar with, you stated earlier, with back with the Toyota production system, lean manufacturing. So I knew that there was a general fit, but we weren't going out looking to spend $150,000 or $200,000 on somebody who would come in and fix it, then walk away. When you talk about a partnership, that's really what it is boiled down to with us. They're in there on the shop floor. They're working with our people. The training that has, we have undergone, the experience that we have found has been fantastic. So what was a problem a year ago, all of a sudden, isn't a problem for us. We've seen good signs that our capacity is going to double in less floor space than what we had ever used in the past. So now we have opportunity to bring things into the factory that we were never able to do. Can't tell you how many jobs we've created, but I can tell you that, wages are on the rise. Employees are happier. They have a level of training. They're getting a level of diversification that they never had the opportunity to have in the past. And if you're looking for some impact, we've had some impact. And, I can't speak high enough on what it has done for our company this year and even in the coming years. It isn't something that we look at that we're going to have fixed tomorrow or next week or next year. It's a continuous improvement. And, to have the kind of people behind us that OMEP really brings to the table, and for, what it cost. I can still remember the first day I went to the senior management team and I said, hey, guess what I found? And here's what it costs. And they all said, where's the catch? And I said, well, the catch is we have to do the work. They're going to help us, but we have to do the work. And, I can say 6 months later, we're making fantastic progress and it's going to be a big deal to our business and our employees. So,
great.
Thanks.
Well, you paint a very good picture yourself. Thank you.
Well, I tried.
Madam Chair, in deference to Representative Pass. We're getting him out of hot water.
I was hoping he'd become a still one.
Representative Hunt, do you have something clever to
no,
say?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I guess I'm interested. I mean, the two of you, it's very refreshing to have, frankly, no offense, real people.
That's what they told us, too.
I guess I'm interested. I mean, have the two of you been involved at any point in the past in testifying about other state programs that you found helpful?
Not me.
This is my first time. Yeah.
Do we need
this
to come back?
This is good cause. Yeah.
Actually, I've got a couple of bills I'd love to have you come back. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your testimony. We have Ron Fox here from the Economic and Community Development.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith and members of the committee, and for Representative Vaughn. I'm one of those non-real people to speak to you today. I'm Ron Fox. I'm manager of business and industry programs for the Oregon Economic Community Development Department, and I'm not sure there's too much more I can say other than to say that the department is very, very supportive of the initiative and the direction of House Bill 3198. As Paul mentioned earlier, we understand that the financing of the numbers will be resolved in the Ways and Means. We have in our governor's balanced budget proposal to our commission included funds for these types of technology and manufacturing improvement endeavors included in that budget, and we'll wait for the Ways and Means final decisions in that area. I think one other thing I would like to mention, over the last year and a half, the Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development, group created by legislation and staffed by a very good cross-section of business leaders, university types, and others, took a look at what it would take for Oregon to be very successful in a knowledge-based economy. One of their recommendations was that the state take advantage of the research, basic research and commercialization potential from its universities, and also to invest in technological applications in its traditional and core industry sectors. The council has presented to the legislature a series of bills. One of those is Senate Bill 363, which calls for funding for technology transfer and related activities. That bill has been heard and referred to Ways and Means, but it specifically recommends that the legislature provide funding for investment in the Higher Education Technology Transfer Fund created in the 2001 legislature, but funded with $1, and also provide funds for critical business development and research and technology applications for Oregon's rural emerging industries. And I think this bill, House Bill 3198, is a direct correlation to that effort. Now, I appreciate your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Fox? Representative,
I don't know if it's a question for you necessarily, but Section 3, is that the formula, and then what language, and what is there any change there, and is that the formula that we're talking about?
Paul may be able to answer that question more correctly.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, again for the record, Paul Cosgrove.
Section 3, the first part of Section 3 was the formula that we had produced for matching the state funds. I was looking at subsection 3. Section 3 is the standard, as I understand it's Legislative Council's language, the standard provisions whenever you allocate anything from the Economic and Community Development Fund, that it has to have these sections in it, that it is subject to those various kinds of other appropriations.
Right. So I guess that's what I assume. I don't see any italics, so we're not replacing anything with this language.
No. My understanding, Representative Haas, is that kind of, if there's ever an appropriation from that fund, those kinds of subsections are added in.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Do you have any?
Yeah, Representative Gallegos. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm following up from this morning's testimony where we passed off the bill of, to create an Office of Small Business and put it in OECD. Is there additional FTEs or work that's required? Is this just a pass-through, or does OECD need to have, you know, other people to administer this, or additional headcount or administrative costs?
Chair Smith, Representative Gallegos, we've taken a look at this bill, and as the in the state investment to garner the federal dollars, that's a relatively simple contractual agreement where we pass the money to OMAP. They use that as their matching funds for the federal dollars, and then they report back to us as prescribed on their performance and results. So it's just sort of business that we regularly conduct within our organization, within our department.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Marsh.
Just to follow up on that,
sure.
To clarify, you currently do that now. You contract with OMEP, and, I mean, are you the pass-through for the federal dollars, or do they receive that direct?
Chair Smith, Representative Marsh, we currently do not contract with OMEP, and that's really part of the initiative here, is to bring the state of Oregon into that. Their ability to get greater reimbursement through the federal funds is directly related. It's a formula process whereby the amount of reimbursement is directly related to the other funds brought into the equation. So their ability to tap into, I think what they mentioned, $750,000 in the last fiscal year, they were unable to reach that level because they could not provide match to reach that level. So this will give them the opportunity, and that's, you know, I think, the advantage that this will provide.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anybody else here who wants to testify on House Bill 3198?
Scouts?
I guess the scouts don't want to. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3198, and I will open a work session on House Bill 3198.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative March.
I would like to propose conceptual amendments to House Bill 3198. And colleagues, if you'll follow along with me, on page 1, line 20, we would delete the amount of $1 million. So we'll delete dollar sign one and million, and replace that with a blank underline.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, on page 2, line 9, we will delete the $2 million sum, that's dollar sign two and million, and replace that with a blank underline. And the intent being that we're denoting that the amount will be determined by Ways and Means, and we're not taking a position on the amount expressed.
Thank you, Representative March. I have a motion on House Bill 3198 to do a conceptual amendment to delete the $1 million figure out of line 20 on page 1, and on page 2, line 9, to delete the $2 million and leave them both blank. Is there any discussion?
I would like to speak to this just for the benefit of the scout troop here. This is an unusual process. We normally do not do an amendment on the fly.
where we conceptually amend a bill. And we are doing it today in that it is a relatively simple change. We're taking a dollar amount out and inserting a blank because we know Ways and Means will do the actual dollar amount. Even if we had left in the numbers, they'd change them. So this is a little unusual, but it's done, and just wanted to draw your attention that it's not always done this way.
Adding to their excitement.
Exactly.
Any other discussion?
I'd like to just
Representative Richardson.
Madam Chair, how impressive the work of OMEP is, and that this is an opportunity for experienced individuals to actually come in and get advice and help. So that companies can do a better job themselves. And it's refreshing to see it, and I'm glad that we're a part of helping it be progressed.
Right. Did we not? Representative Berger?
Could I comment on Representative Hunt's comment about real people? It is very nice to know and see in this building the Oregonians who are out there working every day, employing people, and feeling good about it. And sometimes the doom and gloom overcomes us, and it is very refreshing to have these real people come and say, hey, we can do this. Thank you.
The chair would like to know that I consider them all real people. Do not want to get in trouble for this. But thank you, too. Is there any other comments on the motion before us, conceptual amendment? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative March?
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 3198 to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Do I have to say as amended? As amended,
I'm sorry. A little.
That's okay.
Forgot one little detail.
We're doing this on the fly. I have a motion from Representative March to move House Bill 3198 as amended to the Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objections? We need to call the roll. So ordered. We're done. Seeing no further I'll close the work session on House Bill 3198. And seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned. And thank you for coming.